Alice in Wonderland, a dramatization of Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, and Through the Looking Glass, Alice Gerstenberg. Listen to and download free AI-generated audiobooks at 3ords.com, the Project Gutenberg ebook of Alice in Wonderland. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. Title: Alice in Wonderland, author: Alice Gerstenberg, Lewis Carroll. Release date: March 26, 2011. Ebook: 35,688. Most recently updated: January 7, 2021. Language: English. Other information and formats: www.gutenberg.org/ebook/35688. Credits: produced by the online distributed proofreading team at https://www.pgdp.net. This file was produced from images generously made available by the Internet Archive. Asterisk: start of the project GUTENBERG EBOOK Alice in Wonderland asterisk. Larger image: Alice, you're Humpty Dumpty, just like an egg, page 24. Larger image text of title page. Copyright: A. C. McClurg & Co., 1915, published December 1915, rights to produce this play in all countries of the world are reserved by Alice Gerstenberg, W. F. Mael Printing Company, Chicago, to the memory of Lewis Carroll. This dramatic rendering of Alice in Wonderland by Alice Gerstenberg of Chicago was produced by the Players Producing Company of Chicago, Aline, Barnstall, and Arthur Bissell at the Fine Arts Theater, Chicago, February 11, 1915. After a successful run, it opened at the Booth Theater, New York, March 23, 1915. The scenery and the costumes were designed by William Penelo Henderson of Chicago. The music was written by Eric DeLamerter of Chicago. The advertising posters and cards were designed by Jerome Blum of Chicago. The illustrations of the characters of the play in this book were drawn by J. Allen St. John from photographs by Victor Jorg of Chicago, W. H. Gilmore staged the play with the following cast: Lewis Carroll, Frank Sterling, Alice, Vivian Tobin, Red Queen, Florence Leclerc, White Queen, Mary Servas, White Rabbit, Donald Gallagher, Humpty Dumpty, Alfred Donohoe, Griffon, Fred W. Perman, Mock Turtle, Jeffrey Stein, Mad Hatter, Jeffrey Stein, March Hare, Fred W. Perman, Dormouse, J. Gunnies Davis, Frog Footman, Walter Kingsford, Duchess, Kenny and Bishop, Cheshire Cat, Alfred Donohoe, King of Hearts, Frederick Annerly, Queen of Hearts, Winifred Hanley, Knave of Hearts, Foxhall Dangerfield, Caterpillar, Walter Kingsford, Two of Spades, Rule Pyatt, Five of Spades, France Benson, Seven of Spades, John A. Rice, Alice in Wonderland, The Scenes, Act I, Scene I, Alice's Home, Scene II, The Room in the Looking Glass, Scene III, The Hall with Doors, Scene IV, The Seashore, Act II, Scene, The March Hare's Garden, Act III, Scene I, The Garden of Flowers, Scene II, The Court of Hearts, Scene III, Alice's Home. Miss Gerstenberg's manuscript called for costumes after the illustrations of John Tenniel and scenery of the simple imaginative type, the new art. In the theater, Alice in Wonderland, Alice in Wonderland, Act I, Scene I, Alice. Home, Lewis Carroll is discovered playing chess, golden-haired Alice. In a little blue dress, a black kitten in her arms, stands watching him. Alice, that's a funny game, Uncle. What did you do then, Carroll? A red pawn took a white pawn this way. You see, Alice, the chessboard is divided into 64 squares, red and white, and the white army tries to win and the red army tries to win. It's like a battle, Alice, with soldiers. Carol, yes, here are the kings and queens they're fighting for. That's the red queen and here's the white queen, Alice. How funny they look, Carol. See the crowns on their heads and look at their big feet, Alice. It's a foot apiece, that's what it is. Do they hump along like this, Carol? Here, you're spoiling the game. I must keep them all in their right squares, Alice. I want to be a queen, Carol. Here you are, he points to a small white pawn. Here you are in your little stiff skirt, Alice. How do you do, Alice? Carol, and now you are going to move here, Alice. Let me move myself. Carol, when you have traveled all along the board this way and haven't been taken by the enemy, you may be a queen, Alice. Why do people always play with kings and queens? Mother has them in her playing cards too. Look, Alice goes to the mantel and takes a pack of playing cards from the ledge. Here's the King of Hearts and here's his wife. She's the Queen of Hearts, isn't she cross-looking? Wants to bite one's head off. Carol moves a pawn. You're playing against yourself, aren't you, Carol? That's one way of keeping in practice, Alice. I have friends in the university who want to beat me, Alice. But if you play against yourself, I should think you'd want to cheat, Carol. Does a nice little girl like you cheat when she plays against herself, Alice? Oh, I never do. I'd scold myself hard. I always pretend I'm two people too. It's lots of fun, isn't it? Sometimes when I'm all alone, I walk up to the looking glass and talk to the other Alice. She's so silly that Alice, she can't do anything by herself. She just mocks me all the time. When I laugh, she laughs. When I point my finger at her, she points her finger at me. And when I stick my tongue out at her, she sticks her tongue out at me. Kitty has a twin too, haven't you, darling? Alice goes to the mirror to show Kitty her twin. Carol, I'll have to write a book someday about Alice, Alice in Wonderland. Child of the pure unclouded brow and dreaming eyes of wonder. Or Alice, through the looking glass, Alice, don't you wish sometimes you could go into looking glass house? See, Alice stands on an armchair and looks into the mirror. There's the room you can see through the glass, it's just the same as our living room here, only the things go the other way. I can see all of it, all but the bit just behind the fireplace. Oh, I do wish I could see that bit. I want so much to know if they've a fire there. You never can tell, you know, unless our fire smokes. Then smoke comes up in that room, too, but that may be just to make it look as if they had a fire, just to pretend they had. The books are something like our books, only the words go the wrong way. Won't there ever be any way of our getting through? Uncle Carol, do you think Kitty would find looking glass milk digestible, Alice? It doesn't sound awful good, does it? But I might leave her at home. She's been into an awful lot of mischief today. She found sister's knitting and chased the ball all over the garden where sister was playing croquet with the neighbors. And I ran and ran after the naughty little thing until I was all out of breath and so tired. I am tired. She yawns and makes herself comfortable in the armchair. Carol replaces the playing cards on the mantle and consults his watch. Take a nap. Yes, you have time before tea, Alice, half asleep. We're going to have mock turtle soup for supper. I heard Mama tell the cook not to pepper it too much. Carol, what a funny little rabbit it is, nibbling all the time. He leans gently over the back of her chair and, seeing that she is going to sleep, puts out the lamp light and leaves the room. A red glow from the fireplace illumines Alice. Dream music. A bluish light reveals the red chess queen and the white chess queen in the mirror. Red queen points to Alice and says in a mysterious voice, "There she is, let's call her over, white queen. Do you think she'll come, Red Queen?" "I'll call softly, Alice." "White Queen," hissed Alice. "Red Queen, Alice." "White Queen, hush if she wakes and catches us." Both queens, Alice, come through into Looking Glass House. Their hands beckon her. Alice rises and talks sleepily. The queens disappear. Alice climbs from the arm of the chair to the back of another and so on up to the mantel ledge, where she picks her way daintily between the vases. "I don't know how I can get through. I've tried before, but the glass was hard and I was afraid of cutting my fingers." She feels the glass and is amazed to find it like gauze. "Why, it's soft like gauze. It's turning into a sort of mist. Why, it's easy to get through. Why, I'm going through." She disappears. Scene 2 is scene 1 reversed. The portieres are black and red squares like a chessboard. A soft radiance follows the characters mysteriously. As the curtain rises, Alice comes through the looking glass, steps down, looks about in wonderment and goes to see if there is a fire. The Red Queen rises out of the grate and faces her haughtily. "Alice, why, you're the Red Queen." "Red Queen, of course I am. Where do you come from? And where are you going? Look up, speak nicely, and don't twiddle your fingers, Alice. I only wanted to see what the looking glass was like. Perhaps I've lost my way." "Red Queen, I don't know what you mean by your way. All the ways about here belong to me." "Curtsy while you're thinking what to say. It saves time." "Alice, I'll try it when I go home, the next time I'm a little late for dinner." "Red Queen, it's time for you to answer now. Open your mouth a little wider when you speak and always say, Your Majesty." "I suppose you don't want to lose your name, Alice." "No, indeed, Red Queen, and yet I don't know, only think how convenient it would be if you could manage to go home without it. For instance, if the governess wanted to call you to your lessons, she would call out, Come here, and there she would have to leave off because there wouldn't be any name for her to call, and of course you wouldn't have to go, you know, Alice. That would never do, I'm sure. The governess would never think of excusing me from lessons for that. If she couldn't remember my name, she'd call me Miss, as the servants do. Red Queen, well, if she said Miss and didn't say anything more, of course you'd miss your lessons. I dare say you can't even read this book, Alice. It's all in some language I don't know. Why, it's a looking glass book, of course. And if I hold it up to a glass, the words will all go the right way again. Jabberwocky, 'twas brillig and the slithy toves, Did gyre and gimble in the wabe, all mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. It seems very pretty, but it's rather hard to understand. Somehow it seems to fill my head with ideas, only I don't exactly know what they are. Red Queen, I dare say you don't know your geography either. Look at the map. She takes a right angle course to the portieres and points to them with her scepter. Alice, it's marked out just like a big chessboard. I wouldn't mind being a pawn, though of course I should like to be a Red Queen best. Red Queen, that's easily managed. When you get to the eighth square, you'll be a queen. It's a huge game of chess that's being played all over the world. Come on, we've got to run. Faster, don't try to talk, Alice. I can't. Red Queen, faster, faster. Alice, are we nearly there? Red Queen, nearly there. Why, we passed it 10 minutes ago. Faster, you may rest a little now. Alice, why, I do believe we're in the same place. Everything's just as it was. Red Queen, of course it is. What would you have it, Alice? Well, in our country, you'd generally get to somewhere else if you ran very fast for a long time as we've been doing. Red Queen, a slow sort of country. Now, here, you see, it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place. If you want to get somewhere else, you must run at least twice as fast as that, Alice. Rather not try, please. I'm quite content to stay here. Only I am so hot and thirsty. Red Queen, I know what you'd like. She takes a little box out of her pocket. Have a biscuit? Alice, not liking to refuse, curtsies as she takes the biscuit and chokes. Red Queen, while you're refreshing yourself, I'll just take the measurements. She takes a ribbon out of her pocket and measures the map with it. At the end of 2 yards, I shall give you your directions. Have another. Biscuit, Alice, no thank you, one's quite enough. Red Queen, thirst quenched, I hope. At the end of 3 yards, I shall repeat them for fear of your forgetting them. At the end of 4, I shall say goodbye. And at the end of 5, I shall go. That square belongs to Humpty Dumpty, and that square to the Gryphon and Mock Turtle, and that square to the Queen of Hearts. But you make no remark, Alice. I didn't know I had to make one just then. Red Queen, you should have said, it's extremely kind of you to tell me all this. However, we'll suppose it said 4, goodbye, 5. Red Queen vanishes in a gust of wind behind the portieres. Rabbit, music, White Rabbit, comes out of the fireplace and walks about the room hurriedly. He wears a checked coat, carries white kid gloves in one hand, a fan in the other, and takes out his watch to look at it anxiously. White Rabbit, oh, the Duchess, the Duchess. Oh. Won't she be savage if I've kept her, waiting, Alice? Never seen a rabbit with a waistcoat and a watch, and a waistcoat pocket, if you please, sir. White Rabbit, oh. He drops fan and gloves in fright and dashes out by way of the portieres in a gust of wind. Alice picks up the fan and playfully puts on the gloves. The portieres flap in the breeze and a shawl flies in. Alice catches the shawl and looks about for the owner, then meets the White Queen. I'm very glad I happen to be in the way, White Queen. Runs in wildly, both arms stretched out wide as if she were flying, and cries in a helpless, frightened way. Bread and butter, Alice, am I addressing the White Queen, White Queen? Well, yes, if you call that addressing. It isn't my notion of the thing at all, Alice. If your majesty will only tell me the right way to begin, I'll do it as well as I can, White Queen, but I don't want it done at all. I've been addressing myself for the last 2 hours, Alice. Every single thing's crooked and you're all over pins. May I put your shawl straight for you, White Queen? I don't know what's the matter with it. It's out of temper. I've pinned it here and I've pinned it there, but there's no pleasing it, Alice. It can't go straight, you know, if you pin it all on one side, and dear me, what a state your hair is in. White Queen, the brush has got entangled in it. And I lost the comb yesterday, Alice. Takes out the brush and arranges the queen hair. You look better now. But really, you should have a lady's maid, White Queen. Sure, I'll take you with pleasure. 2 pence a week and jam every other day, Alice, who cannot help laughing. I don't want you to hire me and I don't care for jam, White Queen, it's very good jam, Alice. Well, I don't want any today at any rate, White Queen, you couldn't have it if you did want it. The rule is jam tomorrow and jam yesterday, but never jam today, Alice. It must come sometimes to jam today. White Queen, no, it can't, it's jam every other day. Today isn't any other day, you know, Alice. I don't understand you, it's dreadfully confusing. White Queen, that's the effect of living backwards, it always makes one a little giddy at first. Alice, living backwards, I never heard of such a thing, White Queen. But there's one great advantage in it, that one's memory works both ways, Alice. I'm sure, mine only works one way. I can't remember things before they happen, White Queen. It's a poor sort of memory that only works backwards, Alice. What sort of things do you remember best, White Queen? Oh, things that happen the week after next. For instance, now, she sticks a large piece of plaster on her finger. There's the king's messenger, he's in prison being punished, and the trial doesn't even begin till next Wednesday, and of course the crime comes last of all, Alice. Suppose he never commits the crime, White Queen, binding the plaster with ribbon. That would be all the better, wouldn't it, Alice? Of course it would be all the better, but it wouldn't be all the better. His being punished. White Queen, you're wrong there, at any rate. Were you ever punished, Alice, only for faults? White Queen, and you were all the better for it, I know, Alice. Yes, but then I had done the things I was punished for, that makes all the difference. White Queen, but if you hadn't done them, that would have been better still. Better and better and better, Alice. There's a mistake somewhere. White Queen screams like an engine whistle and shakes her hand. Oh, 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 my finger's bleeding. Oh, 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 Alice, what is the matter? Have you pricked your finger, White Queen? I haven't pricked it yet, but I soon shall. Oh, 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 Alice, when do you expect to do it, White Queen? When I fasten my shawl again, the brooch will come undone directly. Oh, oh, brooch flies open and she clutches it wildly. Alice, take care, you're holding it all crooked. White Queen pricks her finger and smiles. That accounts for the bleeding, you see. Now you understand the way things happen here, Alice. But why don't you scream now, White Queen? Why, I've done all the screaming already. What would be the good of having it all over again? Oh, it's time to run if you want to stay in the same place. Come on, Alice. No, no, not so fast. I'm getting dizzy. White Queen, faster, faster, Alice. Everything's black before my eyes. There is music and the sound of rushing wind, and in the darkness, the White Queen cries, faster, faster. Alice gasps, I can't, please stop. And the Queen replies, then you can't stay in the same place. I'll have to drop you behind. Faster, faster, goodbye. Scene 3. When the curtain rises, one sees nothing but odd black lanterns with orange lights hanging, presumably from the sky. The scene lights up, slowly revealing Alice, seated on two large cushions. She has been dropped behind by the White Queen and is dazed to find herself in a strange hall with many peculiar doors and knobs too high to reach. Alice, oh my head, where am I? Oh dear, she staggers up and to her amazement finds herself smaller than the table. I've never been smaller than any table before, I've always been able to reach the knobs. What a curious feeling. Oh, I'm shrinking, it's the fan, the gloves. She throws them away, feels her head, and measures herself against table and doors. Oh, saved in time. But I never, never. White Rabbit, oh, my fan and gloves, where are my? Alice, oh, Mr. Rabbit, please help me out, I want to go home, I want to go home. White Rabbit, oh, the Duchess, oh, my fur and whiskers, she'll get me executed as sure as ferrets are ferrets. Oh, you have them, Alice, I'm sorry you dropped them, you know. White Rabbit picks up fan and gloves and patters off. She'll chop off your head, Alice, if you please, sir, where am I? Won't you please tell me how to get out? I want to get out. White Rabbit, looking at his watch. Oh, my ears and whiskers, how late it's getting. A trap door gives way and Rabbit disappears. Alice dashes after only in time to have the trap door bang in her face. Alice, amazed. It's a rabbit hole, I'm small enough to fit it too. If I shrink anymore, it might end in my going out altogether like a candle. I wonder what I would be like then. What does the flame of a candle look like after the candle is blown out? I've never seen such a thing. Humpty Dumpty sits on the wall. Don't stand chattering to yourself like that, but tell me your name and your business. Alice, my name is Alice, but Humpty Dumpty. It's a stupid name enough. What does it mean? Alice, must a name mean something? Humpty Dumpty, of course it must. My name means the shape I am, and a good, handsome shape it is too. With a name like yours, you might be any shape, almost. Alice, you're Humpty Dumpty, just like an egg. Humpty Dumpty, it's very provoking to be called an egg. Very. Alice, I said you looked like an egg, sir, and some eggs are very pretty, you know, Humpty Dumpty. Some people have no more sense than a baby, Alice. Why do you sit here all alone, Humpty Dumpty? Why, because there's nobody with me. Did you think I didn't know the answer to that? Ask another, Alice, don't you think you'd be safer down on the ground? That wall, so very narrow, Humpty Dumpty. What tremendously easy riddles you ask. Of course I don't think so. Take a good look at me. I'm one that has spoken to a king, I am. To show you I'm not proud, you may shake hands with me. He leans forward to offer Alice his hand, but she is too small to reach it. However, this conversation is going on a little too fast. Let's go back to the last remark but one, Alice. I'm afraid I can't remember it, Humpty Dumpty. In that case, we start fresh, and it's my turn to choose a subject. Alice, you talk about it just as if it were a game, Humpty Dumpty. So here's a question for you. How old did you say you were, Alice? 7 years and 6 months, Humpty Dumpty. Wrong, you never said a word about it. Now if you'd asked my advice, I'd have said, leave off at 7, but, Alice, I never ask advice about growing, Humpty Dumpty. Too proud, Alice, what a beautiful belt you've got on. At least, a beautiful cravat. I should have said no, a belt, I mean, I beg your pardon. If only I knew which was neck and which was waist, Humpty Dumpty. It is a most provoking thing when a person doesn't know a cravat from a belt. Alice, I know it's very ignorant of me, Humpty Dumpty. It's a cravat, child, and a beautiful one, as you say. There's glory for you, Alice. I don't know what you mean by glory. Humpty Dumpty, When I use a word, it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less, Alice. The question is whether you can make words mean different things, Humpty Dumpty. The question is which is to be master, that's all. Impenetrability, that's what I say. Alice, would you tell me, please, what that means, Humpty Dumpty? I meant by impenetrability that we've had enough of that subject, and it would be just as well if you'd mention what you mean to do next, as I suppose you don't mean to stop here all the rest of your life. Alice, that's a great deal to make one word mean, Humpty Dumpty. When I make a word do a lot of work like that, I always pay it extra, Alice. Oh, Humpty Dumpty. Ah, you should see 'em come round me of a Saturday night for to get there. Wages, you know. That's all goodbye, Alice. Goodbye till we meet again, Humpty Dumpty. I shouldn't know you again if we did meet. You're so exactly like other people, Alice. The face is what one goes by, generally. Humpty Dumpty, that's just what I complain of. Your face is the same as everybody. Has the two eyes, so, nose in the middle, mouth under. It's always the same. Now if you had the two eyes on the same side of the nose, for instance, or the mouth at the top, that would be some help, Alice. It wouldn't look nice. Humpty Dumpty, wait till you've tried. Goodbye, he disappears as he came. Alice, oh, I forgot to ask him how to. She tries to open the doors. They are all locked. She begins to weep. She walks weeping to a high glass table and sits down on its lower ledge. She sits on a big golden key and picks it up in surprise. She tries it on all the doors, but it does not fit. She weeps and weeps, and Wonderland grows dark to her in her despair. In the darkness, she cries, oh, I'm slipping. Oh, oh, it's a lake. Oh, my tears, I'm floating. A mysterious light shows a drink me sign around a bottle on the top of the table. Alice floats up to it panting and holding onto the edge of the table, takes up the bottle. Alice, it isn't marked poison. She sips at it. This is good. Tastes like cherry tart, custard, pineapple, roast turkey. Toffee and hot buttered toast all together. Oh, oh, I'm letting out like a telescope. A mysterious light shows her lengthening out. Music, but the lake is rising too. Oh, oh, it's deep, I'm drowning. Help, help, I'm drowning in my tears, Griffon, H-J-C-K-R-R-H. H-J-C-K-R-R-H, the Griffon. A huge green creature with big glittering wings appears where Humpty Dumpty had been and reaches glittering claws over to grab and save Alice. Scene 4 is symbolic of a wet and rocky shore in a weird green light. The mock turtle is weeping dismally. Griffon, H-J-C-K-R-R-H, 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 mock turtle, answers with his weeping. Griffon drags Alice in. Drop your tears into the sea with his, Alice. He sobs as if he had a bone in his throat. He sighs as if his heart would break. What is his sorrow, mock turtle? Oh, Griffon, it's terrible, Griffon, it's all his fancy that. Mock turtle hasn't got no sorrow. This here young lady, she wants for to know your history, she do, mock turtle, I'll tell it her. Sit down, both of you, and don't speak a word till I've finished. Alice, I don't see how you can ever finish if you don't begin, mock turtle. Once I was a real turtle. A long silence is broken only by the exclamations, H-J-C-K-R-R-H, of the Griffon and the heavy sobbing of the mock turtle. Mock turtle. When we were little, we went to school in the sea. The master was an old turtle. We used to call him tortoise. Alice, why did you call him tortoise if he wasn't one, mock turtle? We called him tortoise because he taught us. Really, you are very dull. Griffon, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for asking such a simple question. Drive on, old fellow, don't be all day about it, mock turtle. Yes, we went to school in the sea, though you mayn't believe it. Alice, I never said I didn't, mock turtle, you did. Griffon, hold your tongue, mock turtle. We had the best of educations. In fact, we went to school every day, Alice. Been to a day school too, you needn't be so proud as all that, mock turtle, with extras, Alice. Yes, we learned French and music, mock turtle, and washing, Alice. Certainly not. Mock turtle, ah, then yours wasn't a really good school. Now at hers, they had at the end of the bill French, music, and washing. Extra, Alice, you couldn't have wanted it much. Living at the bottom of the sea, mock turtle. I couldn't afford to learn it, I only took the regular course, Alice. What was that, mock turtle? Reeling and writhing, of course, to begin with, and then the different branches of arithmetic, ambition, distraction, uglification, and derision, Alice. I never heard of uglification. What is it? Griffon, never heard of uglifying. You know what to beautify is, I suppose, Alice. Yes, it means to make anything prettier, Griffon. Well then, if you don't know what to uglify is, you are a simpleton, Alice. What else had you to learn, mock turtle? Well, there was mystery, mystery ancient and modern with seography. Then drawling, the drawling master was an old conger eel that used to come once a week. What he taught us was drawling, stretching, and fainting in coils, Alice. What was that? Like, mock turtle. Well, I can't show it you myself, I'm too stiff. And the Griffon never learned it. Griffon hadn't time. I went to the classical master, though. He was an old crab. He was Mock Turtle. I never went to him. He taught laughing and grief, they used to say. Griffon, so he did, Alice. And how many hours a day did you do lessons, Mock Turtle? 10 hours the first day, 9 the next, and so on, Alice. What a curious plan. Griffon, that's the reason they're called lessons, because they lesson from day to day. Alice, then the 11th day must have been a holiday, Mock Turtle. Of course it was. Alice, and how did you manage on the 12th? Griffon, that's enough about lessons. Tell her something about the games now. Mock Turtle sighs deeply, draws back of one flapper across his eyes. He looks at Alice and tries to speak, but sobs choke his voice. Griffon, punching him in the back. Same as if he had a bone in his throat, Mock Turtle, with tears running down his cheeks. You may not have lived much under the sea, Alice. I haven't, Mock Turtle, and perhaps you were never even introduced to a lobster. Alice, I once tasted, no, never, Mock Turtle, so you can have no idea what a delightful thing a lobster quadrille is. Alice, no, indeed. What sort of a dance is it? Griffon. Why, you first form into a line along the seashore. Mock Turtle, two lines, seals, turtles, salmon, and so on. Then, when you've cleared all the jellyfish out of the way. Griffon, that generally takes some time. Mock Turtle, you advance twice. Griffon. Each with a lobster as a partner. Mock Turtle, of course, advance twice, set to partners. Griffon, change lobsters and retire in same order, Mock Turtle. Then you know you throw the Griffon, the lobsters, Mock Turtle, as far out to sea as you can. Griffon, swim after them, Mock Turtle. Turn a somersault in the sea, Griffon. Change lobsters again, Mock Turtle. Back to land again, and that's all the first figure, Alice. It must be a very pretty dance, Mock Turtle. Would you like to see a little of it, Alice? Very much indeed, Mock Turtle. Come, let's try the first figure. We can do it without lobsters, you know, which shall sing, Griffon. Oh, you sing, I've forgotten the words. Creatures solemnly dance round and round Alice, treading on her toes, waving four paws to mark time while Mock Turtle sings. First verse. Will you walk a little faster? Said a whiting to a snail. There's a porpoise close behind us, and he's treading on my tail. See how eagerly the lobsters and the turtles all advance. They are waiting on the shingle. Will you come and join the dance? Will you, won't you, will you, won't you, will you join the dance? Will you, won't you, will you, won't you, won't you join the dance? Second verse. You can really have no notion how delightful it will be when they take us up and throw us with the lobsters out to sea. But the snail replied, too far, and gave a look askance. Said he thanked the whiting kindly, but he would not join the dance. Would not, could not, would not join the dance. Would not, could not join the dance. The creatures dance against Alice, pushing her back and forth between them. She protests and finally escapes. They bump against each other. Alice, thank you. It's a very interesting dance to watch, and I do so like that. Curious song about the whiting, Mock Turtle. Oh, as to the whiting, they, you've seen them, of course, Alice. Yes, I've often seen them at din, checks herself hastily. Mock Turtle. I don't know where din may be, but if you've seen them so often, of course. You know what they're like, Alice, I believe so. They have their tails in their mouths, and they're all over crumbs. Mock Turtle, you're wrong about the crumbs. Crumbs would all wash off in the sea. But they have their tails in their mouths, and the reason is, Mock Turtle yawns and shuts his eyes. Tell her about the reason and all that. Griffon, the reason is that they would go with the lobsters to the dance. So, they got thrown out to sea, so they had to fall a long way. So they got their tails fast in their mouths, so they couldn't get them out again. That's all, Alice. Thank you, it's very interesting. I never knew so much about a whiting before. Griffon, I can tell you more than that if you like. Do you know why it's called a whiting, Alice? I never thought about it. Why, Griffon, it does the boots and shoes, Alice, does the boots and shoes, Griffon. Why, what are your shoes done with? I mean, what makes them so shiny, Alice? They are done with blacking, I believe, Griffon. Boots and shoes under the sea are done with whiting. Now you know, Alice, and what are they made of? Griffon, soles and eels, of course, any shrimp could have told you that, Alice. If I'd been the whiting, I'd have said to the porpoise, keep back, please, we don't want you with us. Mock Turtle, they were obliged to have him with them, no wise fish would go anywhere without a porpoise. Alice, wouldn't it really, Mock Turtle, of course not. Why, if a fish came to me and told me he was going a journey, I should say, with what porpoise? Alice, don't you mean purpose, Mock Turtle? I mean what I say. Griffon, shall we try another figure of the lobster quadrille? Or would you like the Mock Turtle to sing you a song, Alice? Oh, a song, please, if the Mock Turtle would be so kind. Griffon, no accounting for tastes. Sing her turtle soup, will you, old fellow Mock Turtle? Sighs deeply and sometimes choked with sobs, sings. Beautiful soup, so rich and green, waiting in a hot tureen, who for such dainties would not stoop? Soup of the evening, beautiful soup, soup of the evening, beautiful soup, bow, ootiful soup, op, bow, ootiful soup, oop, soup of the evening, beautiful, beautiful soup. White rabbit. enters stretching out a red and white check sash with which he separates Alice from the creatures. Check Mock Turtle, they won't let her stay in our square. White Rabbit, the queen is coming this way. Griffon, she'll chop our heads off. Come on, let's fly. The Mock Turtle and Griffon grab Alice and fly into the air. Curtain. The curtain rises to reveal small silhouettes of the Griffon, Mock Turtle, and Alice in an orange-colored moon far away in the sky. Down below, the White Rabbit is shouting to them, you'll be safe in the March Hare's garden. Curtain Act II Scene, the March Hare's garden showing part of the Duchess house. On a small platform, there is a tea table set with many cups continuing into wings to give impression of limitless length. The March Hare, Hatter, and Dormouse are crowded at one end. Alice sits on the ground where she has been dropped from the sky. Finding herself not bruised, she rises and approaches the table. March Hare and Hatter, no room, no room. Alice, there's plenty of room. She sits in a large armchair at one end of the table. I don't know who you are, March Hare. I am the March Hare, that's the Hatter, and this is the Dormouse. Have some wine, Alice. I don't see any wine, March Hare. There isn't any, Alice. Then it wasn't very civil of you to offer it, March Hare. It wasn't very civil of you to sit down without being invited. Alice, I didn't know it was your table. It's laid for a great many more than three. Hatter, your hair wants cutting. Alice, you should learn not to make personal remarks. It's very rude. Hatter, why is a raven like a writing desk? Alice, come, we shall have some fun now. I'm glad you've begun asking riddles. I believe I can guess that, March Hare. So you mean that you think you can find out the answer to it? Larger image, Hatter. Your hair wants cutting, Alice. Exactly so, March Hare. Then you should say what you mean, Alice. I do, at least I mean what I say. That's the same thing, you know, Hatter, not the same thing a bit. Why, you might just as well say that I see what I eat is the same thing as I eat what I see. March Hare, you might just as well say that I like what I get is the same thing as I get what I like. Dormouse, you might just as well say that I breathe when I sleep is the same thing as I sleep when I breathe. Hatter, it is the same thing with you. Takes out his watch, looks at it uneasily, shakes it, holds it to his ear. What day of the month is it, Alice? The fourth, Hatter, 2 days wrong. I told you butter wouldn't suit the works, March Hare, it was the best. Butter, Hatter, yes, but some crumbs must have got in as well. You shouldn't have put it in with the bread knife, March Hare. Takes the watch, looks at it gloomily, dips it into his cup of tea, and looks at it again but doesn't know what else to say. It was the best. Butter, you know, Alice. What a funny watch. It tells the day of the month and doesn't tell what o'clock it is, Hatter, why should it? Does your watch tell you what year it is, Alice? Of course not, but that's because it stays the same year for such a long time together, Hatter, which is just the case with mine. Alice, I don't quite understand you. What you said had no sort of meaning in it, and yet it was certainly English, Hatter, pouring some hot tea on the Dormouse. Nose. The Dormouse is asleep again. Dormouse. Of course, just what I was going to remark myself. Hatter, have you guessed the riddle yet, Alice? No, I give it up. What's the answer, Hatter? I haven't the slightest idea, March Hare, nor I, Alice. I think you might do something better with the time than wasting it in asking riddles that have no answers, Hatter. If you knew time as well as I do, you wouldn't talk about wasting it. It's him, Alice. I don't know what you mean, Hatter. Of course you don't. I dare say you never even spoke to time, Alice. Perhaps not, but I know I have to beat time when I learn music. Hatter, ah, that accounts for it. He won't stand beating. Now, if you only kept on good terms with him, he'd do almost anything you liked with the clock. For instance, suppose it were 9 o'clock in the morning, just time to begin lessons. You'd only have to whisper a hint to time, and round goes the clock in a twinkling. 1:30, time for dinner, March Hare. I only wish it was, Alice. That would be grand, certainly, but then I shouldn't be hungry for it, you know, Hatter, not at first, perhaps, but you could keep it to 1:30 as long as you liked. Alice, is that the way you manage, Hatter? Not I, we quarreled last March, just before he went mad, you know. It was at the great concert given by the Queen of Hearts, and I had to sing. Twinkle, twinkle, little bat, how I wonder what you're at. You know the song, perhaps, Alice, I've heard something like it, Dormouse. Twinkle, 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 Hatter. Well, I'd hardly finished the first verse when the Queen bawled out, he's murdering the time, off with his head. Alice, how dreadfully savage, Hatter, and ever since that, he won't do a thing I ask. It's always 6 o'clock now, Alice. Is that the reason so many tea things are put out here, Hatter? Yes, that's it. It's always tea time, and we've no time to wash the things between whiles, Alice. Then you keep moving round, I suppose, Hatter. Exactly so, as the things get used up. Alice, but when you come to the beginning again, March Hare, suppose we change the subject. I vote the young lady tells us a story, Alice. Afraid I don't know one, March Hare, and Hatter, then the Dormouse shall. Wake up, Dormouse. They pinch him on both sides at once. Dormouse opens his eyes slowly and says in a hoarse, feeble voice, I wasn't asleep, I heard every word you fellows were saying, March Hare. Tell us a story, Alice. Yes, please do, Hatter. And be quick about it, or you'll be asleep again before it's done. Dormouse. Once upon a time, there were three little sisters, and their names were Elsie, Lacey, and Tilly, and they lived at the bottom of a well. Alice. What did they live on? Dormouse. They lived on treacle. Alice. They couldn't have done that, you know, they'd have been ill. Dormouse. So they were, very ill. Alice. But why did they live at the bottom of a well? March Hare. Take some more tea. Alice. I've had nothing yet, so I can't take more. Hatter. You mean, you can't take less. It's very easy to take more than nothing. Alice. Nobody asked your opinion. Hatter. Who's making personal remarks now? Alice. Helps herself to tea and bread and butter. Why did they live at the bottom of a well? Dormouse. Takes a minute or two to think. It was a treacle well. Alice. There's no such thing. Hatter. And March Hare. SH. SH. Dormouse. If you can't be civil, you'd better finish the story for yourself. Alice. Very humbly. No, please go on. I won't interrupt you again. I dare say there may be one. Dormouse. One indeed. And so these three little sisters, they were learning to draw. You, Alice. What did they draw? Dormouse. Treacle. Hatter. I want a clean cup. Let's all move one place on. Hatter moves on. Dormouse takes his place. March Hare takes Dormouse place, and Alice unwillingly takes March Hare's place. Alice, I'm worse off than I was before. You've upset the milk jug into your plate, March Hare. It wasn't very civil of you to sit down without being invited. Alice, where did they draw the treacle from? Hatter, you can draw water out of a water well, so I should think you could draw treacle out of a treacle well. A stupid Alice, but they were in the well. Dormouse, of course they were well in. They were learning to draw, and they drew all manner of things, everything that begins with an M. Alice, why with an M? March Hare, why not? Alice is silent and confused. Hatter pinches Dormouse to wake him up. Dormouse wakes with a little shriek and continues. That begins with an M, such as mousetraps and the moon and memory and muchness. You know you say things are much of a muchness. Did you ever see such a thing as a drawing of a muchness? Hatter, did you, Alice? Really, now you ask me, I don't think. Hatter, then you shouldn't talk. March Hare, no. Alice rises and walks away. You are very rude. It's the stupidest tea party I ever was at in all my life. White Rabbit enters carrying a huge envelope with a seal and crown on it. March Hare and Hatter, no room. No room? Rabbit pays no attention to them, but goes to the house and raps loudly. A footman in livery with a round face and large eyes like a frog and powdered hair opens the door. White Rabbit, for the Duchess. An invitation from the Queen to play croquet, frog. From the Queen, an invitation for the Duchess to play croquet. White Rabbit bows and goes out. March Hare and Hatter, to White Rabbit. No room, no room, no room. The frog disappears into the house but leaves the door open. There is a terrible din and many saucepans fly out. March Hare, she's at it again. Hatter, it's perfectly disgusting. March Hare, let's move on. The platform moves off with table, chairs, March Hare, Hatter, and Dormouse. Meanwhile, the frog has come out again and is sitting near the closed door, staring stupidly at the sky. Alice goes to the door timidly and knocks. Frog, there's no sort of use in knocking, and that for two reasons. First, because I'm on the same side of the door as you are. Secondly, because they're making such a noise inside, no one could possibly hear you. Alice, please then, how am I to get in? Frog, there might be some sense in your knocking if we had the door between us. For instance, if you were inside. You might knock, and I could let you out, you know. Alice, how am I to get in? Frog, I shall sit here till tomorrow. The door opens and a large plate skims out straight at the frog. Head, it grazes his nose and breaks into pieces. Frog acts as if nothing had happened. Or next day maybe. Alice, how am I to get in? Frog, are you to get in at all? That's the first question, you know. Alice, it's really dreadful the way all you creatures argue. It's enough to drive one crazy. Frog, I shall sit here on and off for days and days. Alice, but what am I to do? Frog, anything you like. He begins to whistle. Alice, where's the servant whose business it is to answer the door? Frog, which door? Alice, this door, of course. The frog looks at the door and rubs his thumb on it to see if the paint will come off. Larger image. Frog, I shall sit here till tomorrow. Frog, to answer the door? What's it been asking for? Alice, I don't know what you mean. Frog, I speaks English, does I? Or are you deaf? What did it ask you? Alice, nothing. I've been knocking at it. Frog, shouldn't do that, shouldn't do that. Vexes it, you know. He kicks the door. You let it alone and it'll let you. Alone, you know. Alice, oh, there's no use talking to you. She starts to open the door just as the Duchess comes out carrying a pig in baby's clothes. She sneezes. Frog sneezes and Alice sneezes. Duchess, if everybody minded her own business. She sneezes. Alice, it's pepper. Duchess, of course, my cook puts it in the soup. Alice, there's certainly too much pepper in the soup. Duchess, sneeze then and get rid of it. Duchess begins to sing to the baby, giving it a violent shake at the end of every line of the lullaby. Speak roughly to your little boy and beat him when he sneezes. Frog and Alice sneeze. He only does it to annoy. because he knows it teases. Duchess sneezes, frog sneezes, Alice sneezes. I speak severely to my boy, I beat him when he sneezes, frog sneezes, Alice sneezes. For he can thoroughly enjoy the pepper when he pleases. Duchess sneezes, frog sneezes, Alice sneezes, Duchess gasps and gives a tremendous sneeze. Alice, oh dear. She jumps aside as kettles and pots come flying out of the door. The Duchess pays no attention. What a cook to have, she calls inside. Oh, please mind what you're doing. Another pan comes out and almost hits the baby. Oh, there goes his precious, knows Duchess, if everybody minded her own business, the world would go round a deal, faster than it does, Alice, which would not be an advantage. Just think what work it would make with the day and night. You see, the earth takes 24 hours to turn round on its axis. Duchess, talking of axes, chop off her head. The head of a grinning Cheshire cat appears in a tree above a wall. Alice, oh, what's that, Duchess? Cat, of course, Alice. Why does it grin like that, Duchess? It's a Cheshire cat, and that's why, to baby. Pig, larger image, Duchess. I speak severely to my boy. I beat him when he sneezes, Alice. I didn't know that Cheshire cats always grinned. In fact, I didn't know that cats could grin, Duchess. They all can and most of them do, Alice. I don't know of any that do, Duchess. You don't know much and that's a fact. Here, you may nurse it a bit if you like. Flings the baby at Alice. I must go and get ready to play croquet with the queen. She goes into the house. Alice, if I don't take this child away with me, they're sure to kill it in a day or two. Cheshire Puss, would you tell me please which way I ought to walk from here, Cat? That depends a good deal on where you want to get to, Alice. I don't much care where. Cat, then it doesn't matter which way you walk, Alice, so long as I get somewhere. Cat, oh, you're sure to do that if you only walk long enough, Alice. Please, will you tell me what sort of people live about here, Cat? All mad people, Alice. But I don't want to go among mad people. Cat, oh, you can't help that, we're all mad here. I'm mad, he's mad. He's dreaming now, and what do you think he's dreaming about, Alice? Goes to the frog to scrutinize his face. Nobody could guess that, Cat, why about you? And if he left off dreaming about you, where do you suppose you'd be, Alice? Where I am now, of course, Cat, not you, you'd be nowhere. Why, you're only a sort of thing in his dream, and you're mad too, Alice. How do you know I'm mad, Cat? You must be, or you wouldn't have come here, Alice. How do you know that you're mad, Cat? To begin with, a dog's not mad. You grant that, Alice, I suppose so. Cat, well then, you see, a dog growls when it's angry and wags its tail when it's pleased. Now I growl when I'm pleased and wag my tail when I'm angry. Therefore I'm mad, Alice. I call it purring, not growling. Cat, call it what you like. Do you play croquet with the queen today, Alice? I should like it very much, but I haven't been invited yet, Cat. You'll see me there? Vanishes. Alice, to squirming baby. Oh dear, it's heavy and so ugly. Don't grunt, oh, it's a pig. Please, Mr. Footman, take it, frog. Rises with dignity, whistles and disappears into the house. A kettle comes bounding out, Alice. Puts pig down and it crawls off. Cat, appearing again. By the by, what became of the baby, Alice? It turned into a pig. Cat, I thought it would. Vanishes. Frog comes out of the house with hedgehogs and flamingos. Cat, reappearing. Did you say pig or fig, Alice? I said pig, and I wish you wouldn't keep appearing and vanishing so. Suddenly, you make one quite giddy. Cat, all right. It vanishes slowly. Frog puts flamingos down and re-enters house. While Alice is examining the flamingos curiously, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, each with an arm round the other's neck, sidestep in and stand looking at Alice. Alice turns, sees them, starts in surprise, and involuntarily whispers, Tweedledee, dum, dum, dee. If you think we're waxworks, you ought to pay, dum. Contrariwise, if you think we're alive, you ought to speak, dee. The first thing in a visit is to say, how do you do? And shake hands. The brothers give each other a hug, then hold out the two hands that are free to shake hands with her, Alice. Does not like shaking hands with either of them first, for fear of hurting the other one's feelings. She takes hold of both hands at once, and they all dance round in a ring, quite naturally to music. Here we go round the mulberry bush. Alice, would you tell me which road leads out of? D, what shall I repeat to her, dumb? The walrus and the carpenter is the longest. Gives his brother an affectionate hug. D, the sun was shining. Alice, if it's very long, would you please tell me first which road? D, the moon was shining sulkily, dumb. The sea was wet as wet could be. D, oh oysters, come and walk with us. The walrus did beseech. Dumb, looks at, D. A pleasant walk, a pleasant talk, along the briny beach. D, looks at, dumb. The eldest oyster winked his eye and shook his heavy head. Dumb, looks at, D. Meaning to say he did not choose to leave the oyster bed, D, but four young oysters hurried up, and yet another four. Dumb and thick and fast they came at last, and more and more and more, D, the walrus and the carpenter walked on a mile or so, dumb, and then they rested on a rock, conveniently low, D, and all the little oysters stood and waited in a row, dumb. A loaf of bread, the walrus said, is what we chiefly need. D, now if you're ready, oysters dear, we can begin to feed. Dumb, but not on us, the oysters cried, turning a little blue. D, the night is fine, the walrus said. Do you admire the view? Dumb, the carpenter said nothing but, cut us another slice. I wish you were not quite so deaf, I've had to ask you twice. D, it seems a shame, the walrus said, to play them such a trick, after we've brought them out so far, and made them trot so quick. Dumb, oh, oysters, said the carpenter, you've had a pleasant run, D, shall we be trotting home again? Dumb, but answer came there none, D, and this was scarcely odd, because dumb, they'd eaten every D, interrupts in a passion, pointing to a white rattle on the ground. Do you see that? Alice, it's only a rattle, dumb, stamps wildly and tears his hair. I knew it was, it's spoilt, of course, my nice new rattle. To D, you agree to have a battle. He collects saucepans and pots. D picks up a saucepan. I suppose so. Let's fight till dinner. They go out hand in hand. Alice. Here's music. I wonder what is going to happen next. She backs downstage respectfully as the king and queen of hearts enter, followed by the knave of hearts carrying the king, crown on a crimson velvet cushion, and the white rabbit and others. When they come opposite to Alice, they stop and look at her. The duchess comes out of her house. Queen to the knave. Who is this knave? Bows three times, smiles and giggles. Queen, idiot. What's your name, child? Alice. My name is Alice, so please your majesty. Queen, off with her head. Off. Alice, nonsense. King, consider, my dear, she is only a child. Queen, can you play croquet? Alice, yes. Queen, come on then. Get to your places. Where are the mallets, duchess? Here. The frog appears with the flamingos and hedgehogs. Queen, off with his head. No one pays any attention. Knave, what fun, Alice. What is the fun, knave? Why, she, it's all her fancy, that. They never execute anyone, Alice. What does one do, queen? Get to your places. She takes a flamingo, uses its neck as a mallet, and a hedgehog as a ball. The frog doubles himself into an arch. The king does the same with the followers, and the knave offers himself as an arch for Alice, even though Alice does not notice him. He holds the arch position. The queen shouts at intervals, off with his head, off with her head. Alice, where are the chess queens? Rabbit, under sentence of execution. Alice, what for, rabbit, did you say? What a pity. Alice, no, I didn't. I don't think it's at all a pity. I said, what for? Rabbit, they box the queen's ears. Alice gives a little scream of laughter. Rabbit, oh, hush, the queen will hear you. You see, they came rather late, and the queen said, oh dear, the queen hears me. He hurries away. Alice, noticing the knave, who still pretends to be an arch. How can you go on thinking so quietly with your head downwards, knave? What does it matter where my body happens to be? My mind goes on working, just the same. The fact of it is, the more head downwards I am, the more I keep on inventing new things. King, did you happen to meet any soldiers, my dear, as you came through the wood, Alice? Yes, I did. Several thousand, I should think. King, 4,207, that's the exact number. They couldn't send all the horses, you know, because two of them are wanted in the game. And I haven't sent the two messengers either, Alice. What's the war about, King? The Red Chess King has the whole army against us, but he can't kill a man who has 13 hearts. The Duchess, Queen, Frog, and followers go out. The Knave and the 5-spot, 7-spot, and 9-spot of hearts stand behind the King. Larger image, King. I only wish I had such eyes to be able to see nobody, King. Just look along the road and tell me if you can see either of my messengers, Alice. I see nobody on the road, King. I only wish I had such eyes to be able to see nobody. And at that distance, too. Why, it's as much as I can do to see real people by this light. Alice, I see somebody now, but he's coming very slowly, and what curious attitudes he goes into, skipping up and down and wriggling like an eel. King, not at all, those are Anglo-Saxon attitudes. He only does them when he's happy. I must have two messengers, you know, to come and go. One to come and one to go, Alice. I beg your pardon, King, it is respectable to beg, Alice. I only meant that I didn't understand. Why one to come and one to go, King, don't I tell you? I must have two to fetch and carry. One to fetch and one to carry, March Hare. Enters, pants for breath, waves his hands about and makes fearful faces at the king. King, you alarm me, I feel faint, give me a ham sandwich. Another sandwich, March Hare, there's nothing but hay left now. King, hay then, there's nothing like eating hay when you're faint, Alice. I should think throwing cold water over you would be better. King, I didn't say there was nothing better. I said there was nothing like it. King, who did you pass on the road, March Hare? Nobody. King, quite right, this young lady saw him too. So of course nobody walks slower than you, March Hare. I do my best, I'm sure nobody walks much faster than I do. King, he can't do that, or else he'd have been here first. However, now you've got your breath, you may tell us what's happened in the town, March Hare. I'll whisper it. Much to Alice, surprise, he shouts into the king. Ear, you're at it again, King, do you call that? A whisper, If you do such a thing again, I'll have you buttered. It went through and through my head like an earthquake. Give me details, quick. The king and March Hare go out followed by 5, 7, and 9 spots. Duchess runs in and tucks her arm affectionately into Alice. You can't think how glad I am to see you again, you dear old thing, Alice. Oh, Duchess, you're thinking about something, my dear, and that makes you forget to talk. I can't tell you just now what the moral of that is, but I shall remember it in a bit, Alice. Perhaps it hasn't one, Duchess. Tut, tut, child, everything. Got a moral, if only you can find it. Squeezes closely, digs her chin into Alice, shoulder and roughly drags Alice along for a walk. Alice, the game, going on rather better now, Duchess. Tease so, and the moral of that is, oh, tease love, that makes the world go round. Alice. Somebody said that it's done by everybody minding their own business. Duchess. Ah, well, it means much the same thing, and the moral of that is, take care of the sense, and the sounds will take care of themselves. Alice, how fond you are of finding morals in things, Duchess. I dare say you're wondering why I don't put my arm round your waist. The reason is that I'm doubtful about the temper of your flamingo. Shall I try the experiment, Alice? He might bite, Duchess. Very true. Flamingos and mustard both bite. And the moral of that is, birds of a feather flock together. Alice, only mustard isn't a bird, Duchess. Right, as usual, what a clear way you have of putting things, Alice. It's a mineral, I think. Duchess, of course it is. There's a large mustard mine near here. And the moral of that is, the more there is of mine, the less there is of yours. Alice, oh, I know, it's a vegetable. It doesn't look like one, but it is, Duchess. I quite agree with you, and the moral of that is, be what you would seem. To be, or, if you'd like it put more simply, never imagine yourself not, to be otherwise than what it might appear to others that what you were or might have been was not otherwise than what you had been would have, appeared to them to be otherwise. Alice, I think I should understand that better if I had it written down, but I can't quite follow it as you say it, Duchess. That's nothing to what I could say if I chose. Alice, pray don't trouble yourself to say it any longer than that, Duchess. Oh, don't talk about trouble. I make you a present of everything I've said as yet. Alice, Duchess, thinking again, Alice. Got a right to think, Duchess. Just about as much right as pigs have to fly, and the moral, the arm of the Duchess, begins to tremble and her voice dies down. The Queen of Hearts stands before them with folded arms and frowning like a thunderstorm. Duchess, a fine day, Your Majesty, Queen. Now I give you fair warning, either you or your head must be off, and that in about half no time. Take your choice, the Duchess goes meekly into the house. Queen, let's go on with the game. She goes off and shouts at intervals, off with his head, off with her head. Cat, how are you getting on, Alice? It's no use speaking to you till your ears have come. I don't think they play at all fairly, and they all quarrel so, and they don't seem to have any rules in particular. And you've no idea how confusing it is with all the things alive. There's the arch I've got to go through next walking about, at the other end of the ground, and I should have croqueted the queen's hedgehog just now, only it ran away when it saw mine coming. Music begins. Cat, how do you like the queen, Alice? Not at all, she's so extremely. The king, queen, and entire court enter. The queen is near to Alice. The music stops and all look at Alice, questioningly. Alice tries to propitiate the queen, likely to win. Music continues. That it's hardly worth while finishing the game. Queen smiles and passes on. King, who are you talking to, Alice? It's a friend of mine, a Cheshire cat. Allow me to introduce it. King, I don't like the look of it at all. However, it may kiss my hand if it likes. Cat, I'd rather not. King, don't be impertinent and don't look at me like that, Alice. A cat may look at a king. I've read that in some book, but I don't remember where. King, well, it must be removed. My dear, I wish you would have this cat removed. Queen, off with his head. Knave, but you can't cut off a head unless there's a body to cut it off from. King, anything that has a head can be beheaded. Queen, if something isn't done about it in less than no time, I'll have everybody executed all round. Alice, it belongs to the Duchess. You'd better ask her about it, Duchess. It's a lie, cat. You'd better ask me. Do it if you can. It grins away. The Duchess and Frog escape into the house. Queen, cut it off, King. It's gone, everybody. It's gone, it's gone. Where? Queen, cut it off. Cut them all off, everybody. No, Alice, save me, knave. Shouts to Alice and gives her a tart for safety. Take a tart, Queen, seeing Alice stand out a moment from the others. Cutters off, others. Glad to distract, Queen, attention from themselves. Cutters off, cut. Alice cries in fear and takes a quick bite at the tart. If there is a trap. Door on the stage, Alice disappears down it, leaving the crowd circling around the whole screaming and amazed. If the stage has no trap door, a bridge is built across the footlights with stairs leading down into the orchestra pit. When the crowd is chasing Alice, She jumps over the footlights onto the bridge, and as the curtain is falling, dividing her from the crowd, she appeals to the audience, save me, who will save me? And runs down the stairs and disappears. Curtain, act III, scene one. Is a garden of high, very conventional and artificial looking flowers. On a large mushroom sits the caterpillar, smoking a hookah. Alice is whirling about trying to get her equilibrium after her fall. She goes to the mushroom timidly and conscious of her size, for her chin reaches the top of the mushroom. She gazes at the caterpillar, wonderingly. He looks at her lazily and speaks in a languid voice. Caterpillar, who are you, Alice? I hardly know, sir, just at present. The queen frightened me so, and I've had an awfully funny fall down a tunnel or a sort of well. At least I know who I was when I got up this morning, but I think I must have been changed several times since then. Caterpillar, what do you mean by that? Explain yourself, Alice. I can't explain myself, I'm afraid, sir, because I'm not myself, you see. Being so many different sizes in a day is very confusing. Caterpillar, you, who are you, Alice? I think you ought to tell me who you are first. Caterpillar, why? As Alice turns away. Come back, I've something important to say. Alice comes back. Keep your temper, Alice, is that all? Caterpillar, no. He puffs at the hookah in silence, finally takes it out of his mouth and unfolds his arms. So you think you're changed, do you, Alice? Afraid I am, sir. I don't keep the same size. Caterpillar, what size do you want to be, Alice? I don't know. At least I've never been so small as a caterpillar. Caterpillar rears angrily. It is a very good height indeed, Alice, but I'm not used to it. I wish you wouldn't all be so easily offended. Caterpillar, you'll get used to it in time. Alice, are you too big or am I too small? She compares her height wonderingly with the tall flowers. Caterpillar looks at her sleepily, yawns, shakes himself, slides down from the mushroom and crawls slowly away. One side will make you grow taller and the other side will make you grow shorter. Alice, one side of what? The other side of what? Caterpillar of the mushroom. Alice hesitates, then embraces mushroom and picks bit from each side. Three gardeners representing spades enter carrying brushes and red paint cans. Two spot, look out now, five. Don't go splashing paint over me like that, five spot, I couldn't help it. Seven jogged my elbow, seven spot. That's right, five, always lay the blame on others. Five spot, you'd better not talk. I heard the queen say only yesterday you deserve to be beheaded, two spot. What for, seven spot? That's none of your business, too, five spot. Yes, it is his business, and I'll tell him. It was for bringing the cooked tulip roots instead of onions, seven spot. Well, of all the unjust things. Sees, Alice, others look around all bow. Alice, could you please tell me what side to eat? Five and seven, look at, two. Two spot, I don't know anything about it. He paints a white rose red. You ought to have been red, we put you in by mistake, and if the queen was to find it out, we should all have our heads cut off. A thumping is heard off stage and the music grows louder and louder. Alice, what's that, five spot? The white chess queen, seven spot. Don't let her see what we are doing, two spot, she'll tell on us, seven spot. Run out and stop her from coming here, five spot. To Alice as she runs to the right. No, no, the other way, Alice, but she's off there, two spot. You can only meet her by walking the other way, Alice. Oh, what nonsense, all the gardeners, go the other way, Alice. Re-enters in dismay and dashes out to the left. She's running away from me. The white queen backs in from right and Alice backs in from left, they meet. The gardeners cry the queen and throw themselves flat upon the ground, their backs are like the backs of the rest of the pack. Music stops, Alice looks at the queen curiously. Alice, oh, there you are. Why, I'm just the size I was when I saw you last. White queen, of course you are, and who are these? I can't tell them by their backs. She turns them over with her foot. Turn over. Ah, I thought so. Get up, what have you been doing here, two spot? May it please your majesty, we were trying. White queen examines rose. I see. Begone, or I'll send the horses after you and tell the queen of hearts. Gardeners rush off. The red queen enters. Alice has gone to the mushroom again to look at its sides and there, to her amazement, finds a gold crown and scepter, which she immediately appropriates. Music. The queens watch Alice superciliously. Alice puts on her crown, proudly exclaiming in great elation, Queen Alice, and walks downstage bowing right and left to the homage of imaginary subjects. She repeats as if scarcely daring to believe it true, Queen Alice. Music stops. Red queen, ridiculous. Alice, isn't this the eighth square, red queen? You can't be a queen, you know, till you've passed the proper examination. White queen. The sooner we begin it, the better. Alice, please, would you tell me? Red queen, speak when you're spoken to, Alice. But if everybody obeyed that rule, and if you only spoke when you were spoken to, and the other person always waited for you to begin, you see, nobody would ever say anything, so that? Red queen, preposterous. Alice, I only said if. Red queen, she says she only said if. White queen moans and wrings her hands. but she said a great deal more than that. Ah, yes, so much more than that, Red Queen. So you did, you know, always speak the truth, think before you speak, and write it down afterwards, Alice. Sure I didn't mean? Red Queen, that's just what I complained of. You should have meant, what do you suppose is the use of a child without any meaning? Even a joke should have some meaning, and a child's more important than a joke, I hope. You couldn't deny that, even if you tried with both hands, Alice. I don't deny things with my hands. Red Queen, nobody said you did. I said you couldn't if you tried. White Queen, she's in that state of mind that she wants to deny something. Only she doesn't know what to deny, Red Queen, a nasty, vicious temper. I invite you to Alice's dinner party this afternoon, White Queen, and I invite you. Alice, I didn't know I was to have a party at all, but if there is to be one, I think I ought to invite the guests. Red Queen, we gave you the opportunity of doing it, but I dare say you've not had many lessons in manners yet, Alice. Manners are not taught in lessons. Lessons teach you to do sums and things of that sort. White Queen, can you do addition? What's one and 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 one, Alice? I don't know. I lost count. Red Queen, she can't do addition. Can you do subtraction? Take 9 from 8, Alice. 9 from 8 I can't, you know, but... White Queen, she can't do subtraction. Can you do division? Divide a loaf by a knife? What's the answer to that, Alice? I suppose. Red Queen. Answers for her. Bread and butter, of course. Try another subtraction sum. Take a bone from a dog, what remains, Alice? The bone wouldn't remain, of course, if I took it, and the dog wouldn't remain, it would come to bite me, and I'm sure I shouldn't remain. Red Queen, then you think nothing would remain, Alice. I think that's the answer, Red Queen, wrong as usual, the dog's temper would remain, Alice, but I don't see how. Red Queen, why, look here, the dog would lose its temper, wouldn't it, Alice? Perhaps it would. Red Queen, then if the dog went away, its temper would remain, Alice. They might go different ways. What dreadful nonsense we are talking. Both queens, she can't do sums a bit. Alice, can you do sums, White Queen? I can do addition if you give me time, but I can't do subtraction under any circumstances. Red Queen, of course you know your A, B, C, Alice. To be sure I do. White Queen, so do I. We'll often say it over together, dear. And I'll tell you a secret, I can read words of one letter. Isn't that grand? However, don't be discouraged. You'll come to it in time. Red Queen, can you answer useful questions? How is bread made, Alice? I know that. You take some flour. White Queen, where do you pick the flour? In a garden or in the hedges, Alice? Well, it is picked at all. It's ground. White Queen, how many acres of ground? You mustn't leave out so many things. Red Queen, fan her head. She'll be feverish after so much thinking. They fan her with bunches of leaves which blow her hair wildly. Alice. Please, please. Red Queen, she's all right again now. Do you know languages? What's the French for fiddle-de-dee, Alice? Fiddle-de-dee's not English. Red Queen, whoever said it was, Alice. If you tell me what language fiddle-de-dee is, I'll tell you the French for it, Red Queen. Queens never make bargains, Alice. I wish queens never asked questions. White Queen, don't let us quarrel. What is the cause of lightning, Alice? The cause of lightning is the thunder. No, no, I meant the other way, Red Queen. It's too late to correct it. When you've once said a thing, that fixes it, and you must take the consequences. White Queen, we had such a thunderstorm next Tuesday, you can't think. Red Queen, she never could, you know, White Queen. Part of the roof came off, and ever so much thunder got in, and it went rolling round the room in great lumps and knocking over the tables and things till I was so frightened I couldn't remember my own name, Alice. I never should try to remember my name in the middle of an accident. Where would be the use of it, Red Queen? You must excuse her. She means well, but she can't help saying foolish things as a general rule. She never was really well brought up, but it's amazing how good-tempered she is. Pat her on the head and see how pleased she'll be. A little kindness and putting her hair in papers would do wonders with her. White Queen gives a deep sigh and leans her head on Alice's shoulder. I am so sleepy, Red Queen. She's tired, poor thing. Smooth her hair, lend her your nightcap, and sing her a soothing lullaby, Alice. I haven't got a nightcap with me, and I don't know any soothing lullabies. Larger image, Alice. Do wake up, you heavy things, Red Queen. I must do it myself, then. Hushabye, lady, in Alice's lap, till the feast's ready. We've time for a nap when the feast over, we'll go to the ball. Red Queen and White Queen and Alice and all, and now you know the words. She puts her head on Alice, other shoulder. Just sing it through to me, I'm getting sleepy too. Both queens fall fast asleep and snore loudly. Alice, what am I to do? Take care of two queens asleep at once. Do wake up, you heavy things. All lights go out, leaving a mysterious glow on Alice and the queens. White Rabbit blows trumpet off stage. The trial's beginning, Alice. What trial is it, White Rabbit? Who stole the tarts? Alice, I ate a tart. White Rabbit, you've got to be tried. Alice, I don't want to be tried. White Rabbit, you've got to be tried. Alice, I won't be tried. I won't. Scene 2 is a courtroom suggesting playing cards. The jurymen are all kinds of creatures. The king and queen of hearts are seated on the throne. The knave is before them in chains. The white rabbit has a trumpet in one hand and a scroll of parchment in the other. In the middle of the court stands a table with a large dish of tarts upon it. White rabbit blows three blasts on his trumpet. Silence in the court. Alice watches jurymen writing busily on their slates. What are they doing? They can't have anything to put down yet before the trial's begun. Knave, they're putting down their names for fear they should forget them before the end of the trial. Alice, stupid things. White rabbit, silence in the court. Jurors, write in chorus. Stupid things. One juror, how do you spell stupid? Alice, a nice muddle their slates will be in before the trial. Over, queen, there's a pencil squeaking. Cut it down. Jurors, in chorus as they write. Squeaking, king, wears a crown over his wig, puts on his spectacles as he says. Herald read the accusation. White rabbit blows three blasts on his trumpet, unrolls parchment scroll, and reads to music. The queen of hearts, she made some tarts. All on a summer day, the knave of hearts, he stole those tarts and took them quite away. King, consider your verdict. White rabbit, not yet, not yet. There's a great deal to come before that. King, call the first witness. White rabbit, first witness. Hatter comes in with a teacup in one hand and a piece of bread and butter in the other. I beg your pardon, your majesty, for bringing these in, but I hadn't quite finished my tea when I was sent for. King, you ought to have finished. When did you begin? Hatter looks at the March Hare, who follows him arm in arm with the Dormouse. 14th of March, I think it was. March Hare, 15th, Dormouse, 16th. King, write that down. Jury, 14, 15, 16, 45. Reduce that to shillings. King, take off your hat. Hatter, it isn't mine. King, stolen. Jury, stolen. Hatter, I keep them to sell. I've none of my own. I'm a hatter. Queen of Hearts puts on her spectacles and stares at Hatter, who fidgets uncomfortably. King, give your evidence and don't be nervous, or I'll have you executed on the spot. The Hatter continues to shift nervously from one foot to the other, looks uneasily at the queen, trembles so that he shakes off both of his shoes, and in his confusion bites a large piece out of his teacup instead of the bread and butter. Hatter, I'm a poor man, your majesty, and I hadn't but just begun my tea not above a week or so, and what with the bread and butter getting so thin and the twinkling of the tea. King, the twinkling of what? Hatter, it began with the tea. King, of course twinkling begins with a tea. Do you take me for a dunce? Go on, Hatter. A poor man, and most things twinkled after that. Only the March Hare said. March Hare, I did. Hatter, you did. March Hare, I deny it. King, he denies it. Leave out that part. Queen, but what did the Dormouse say? Hatter, that I can't remember. King, you must remember, or I'll have you executed. Hatter drops teacup and bread and butter and goes down on one knee. My poor man, your majesty. King, if that's all you know about it, you may stand down. Hatter, I can't go no lower. I'm on the floor as it is. King, then you may sit down. Hatter, I'd rather finish my tea. King, you may go. The Hatter goes out hurriedly, leaving one of his shoes behind. Queen, nonchalantly to an officer, and just take his head off outside. But the Hatter was out of sight before the officer could get to the door. King, call the next witness. White rabbit, next witness. The Duchess enters with a pepper pot, which she shakes about. Everybody begins to sneeze. March Hare sneezes and rushes out. King, give your evidence. Duchess, shan't. White rabbit, your majesty must cross-examine this witness. King, well, if I must, I must. What does your cook say? Tarts are made of Duchess pepper. The Duchess shakes the pot and the court sneezes. Dormouse, treacle. The Duchess shakes the pot at him. He sneezes for the first time. Queen, collar the Dormouse, behead the Dormouse, turn that Dormouse out of court. Suppress him, pinch him, off with his whiskers. The whole court is in confusion, turning the Dormouse out, and while it is settling down again, the Duchess disappears. White rabbit, the Duchess, court, she's gone, she's gone. King, never mind, in a low tone to the queen. Really, my dear, you must cross-examine the next witness. It quite makes my forehead ache. Call the next witness. White rabbit fumbles with the parchment, then cries in a shrill little voice. Alice, Alice, here, King, what do you know about this business? Alice, nothing whatever. King, to the jury. That's very important. White rabbit, unimportant. Your majesty means, of course. King, unimportant, of course I meant. Important, unimportant, unimportant, important. Consider your verdict. Some of the jury write important and some write unimportant. White rabbit, there's more evidence to come yet. Please your majesty, this paper has just been picked up. Queen, what's in it? White rabbit fumbles with a huge envelope. I haven't opened it yet, but it seems to be a letter written by the prisoner to somebody. King, it must have been that, unless it was written to nobody, which isn't usual, you know. Alice, who is it directed to? White rabbit, it isn't directed at all. In fact, there's nothing written on the outside. Takes out a tiny piece of paper. It isn't a letter at all. It's a set of verses. Queen, are they in the prisoner's handwriting? The jury brightens up. White Rabbit looks at the knave. Hand knave hides his hand, the chains rattle. No, they're not, and that's the queerest thing about it. The jury looks puzzled. King, he must have imitated somebody else's hand knave. Please, Your Majesty, I didn't write it and they can't prove I did. There's no name signed at the end. King, if you didn't sign it, that only makes the matter worse. You must have meant some mischief or else you'd have signed your name like an honest man. At this, there is a general clapping of hands. Queen, that proves his guilt. Alice, it proves nothing of the sort. Why, you don't even know what they're about. King, read them. White Rabbit puts on his monocle. Where shall I begin? Please, Your Majesty, King. Begin at the beginning and go on till you come to the end, then stop. White Rabbit. They told me you had been to her, and mentioned me to him. She gave me a good character, but said I could not swim. I gave her one, they gave him two, you gave us three or more, they all returned from him to you, though they were mine before. My notion was that you had been, before she had this fit, an obstacle that came between him and ourselves and it. Don't let him know she liked him best, for this must ever be a secret kept from all the rest, between yourself and me. King, that's the most important piece of evidence we've heard yet, so now let the jury. Alice, if any one of them can explain it, I'll give him sixpence. I don't believe there's an atom of meaning in it. Jury, she doesn't believe there's an atom of meaning in it. King, if there's no meaning in it, that saves a world of trouble, you know, as we needn't try to find any. And yet I don't know. Spreads out the verses on his knee and studies them. I seem to see some meaning after all. Said I could not swim. You can't swim, can you, knave? Shakes his head sadly and points to his suit. Do I look like it, King? All right, so far. We know it to be true, that's the jury, of course. I gave her one, they gave him two. Why, that must be what he did with the tarts, you, Alice. But it goes on, they all returned from him to you. King, triumphantly pointing to the tarts. Why, there they are, nothing can be clearer than that. Then again, before. She had this fit. You never had fits, my dear, I think. Queen, never, King, then the words don't fit you. There is dead silence while the king looks around at the court with a smile. King, it's a pun, everybody laughs. Music. King, let the jury consider their verdict. Queen, no, no. Sentence first, verdict afterwards, Alice. Stuff and nonsense, Queen. Furiously. Hold your tongue, Alice. I won't, Queen, off with her head, Alice. Who cares for you, Queen? Cut it off, Alice. You're nothing but a pack of cards. As lights go out and curtain falls, all the characters hold their positions as if petrified. Curtain, scene 3. The curtain rises to show Alice, still asleep in the armchair, the fire in the grate suffusing her with its glow. Carol, wake up, Alice. It is time for tea. Off stage, the characters repeat their most characteristic lines. Off with her head. Consider your verdict. Oh, my fur and whiskers. The Duchess sneezes, the cat cries, as if the characters were fading away. Into the pack of real playing cards, which shower through the mirror all over. Alice, there is music. Alice wakes, rises, and looks about in surprise and wonderment. Why, it was a dream. Curtain, text of title page. Alice in Wonderland, a dramatization of Lewis Carroll. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass by Alice Gerstenberg, author of The Conscience of Sarah Platt, Unquenched Fire, A Little World, etc. Chicago, A.C., M.C., Clerg & Co., 1915. End of the project. GUTMBRG EBOOK Alice in Wonderland asterisk. Updated editions will replace the previous one. The old editions will be renamed. Creating the works from print editions not protected by U.S. copyright. Law means that no one owns a United States copyright in these works, so the Foundation and you can copy and distribute it in the United States without permission and without paying copyright royalties. Special rules set forth in the general terms of use part of this license apply to copying and distributing project. Gutenberg trademark electronic works to protect the project GUTMBRGTM concept and trademark. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark and may not be used if you charge for an ebook, except by following the terms of the trademark license, including paying royalties for use of the Project Gutenberg trademark. If you do not charge anything for copies of this ebook, complying with the trademark license is very easy. You may use this ebook for nearly any purpose, such as creation of derivative works, reports, performances, and research. Project Gutenberg ebooks may be modified and printed and given away. You may do practically anything in the United States with ebooks not protected by U.S. copyright law. Redistribution is subject to the trademark license, especially commercial redistribution. Start full license. The full Project GUTMBRGTM license. Please read this before you distribute or use this work to protect the Project Gutenberg trademark mission of promoting the free distribution of electronic works by using or distributing this work, or any other work associated in any way with the phrase project. Gutenberg, you agree to comply with all the terms of the full Project Gutenberg license available with this file or online at www.gutenberg.org/license. Section 1. General Terms of Use and Redistributing Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. 1A. By reading or using any part of this Project Gutenberg electronic work, you indicate that you have read, understand, agree to, and accept all the terms of this license and intellectual property, trademark, copyright, agreement. If you do not agree to abide by all the terms of this agreement, you must cease using and return or destroy all copies of Project Gutenberg electronic works in your possession. If you paid a fee for obtaining a copy of or access to a Project Gutenberg electronic work and you do not agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement, you may obtain a refund from the person or entity to whom you paid the fee as set forth in paragraph 1E8, 1B. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark. It may only be used on or associated in any way with an electronic work by people who agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement. There are a few things that you can do with most Project Gutenberg electronic works, even without complying with the full terms of this agreement. See paragraph 1C below. There are a lot of things you can do with Project Gutenberg electronic works if you follow the terms of this agreement and help preserve free future access to Project Gutenberg electronic works. See paragraph 1E below 1C. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the Foundation or PGLAF, owns a compilation copyright in the collection of Project Gutenberg electronic works. Nearly all the individual works in the collection are in the public domain in the United States. If an individual work is unprotected by copyright law in the United States and you are located in the United States, we do not claim a right to prevent you from copying, distributing, performing, displaying, or creating derivative works based on the work as long as all references to Project Gutenberg are removed. Of course, we hope that you will support the Project Gutenberg mission of promoting free access to electronic works by freely sharing Project Gutenberg works in compliance with the terms of this agreement for keeping the Project Gutenberg name associated with the work. You can easily comply with the terms of this agreement by keeping this work in the same format with its attached full Project Gutenberg license when you share it without charge with others. 1D. The copyright laws of the place where you are located also govern what you can do with this work. Copyright laws in most countries are in a constant state of change. If you are outside the United States, check the laws of your country in addition to the terms of this agreement before downloading, copying, displaying, performing, distributing, or creating derivative works based on this work or any other Project Gutenberg work. The Foundation makes no representations concerning the copyright status of any work in any country other than the United States. 1E. Unless you have removed all references to Project Gutenberg, 1E1, the following sentence with active links to or other immediate access to the full Project Gutenberg license must appear prominently whenever any copy of a Project Gutenberg work, any work on which the phrase Project Gutenberg appears or with which the phrase Project Gutenberg is associated, is accessed, displayed, performed, viewed, copied, or distributed. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg trademark license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. 1E2. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is derived from texts not protected by U.S. copyright law, does not contain a notice indicating that it is posted with permission of the copyright holder, the work can be copied and distributed to anyone in the United States without paying any fees or charges. If you are redistributing or providing access to a work with the phrase Project Gutenberg associated with or appearing on the work, you must comply either with the requirements of paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7, or obtain permission for the use of the work and the Project Gutenberg trademark as set forth in paragraphs 1E8 or 1E9. 1E3. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is posted with the permission of the copyright holder, your use and distribution must comply with both paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 and any additional terms imposed by the copyright holder. Additional terms will be linked to the Project Gutenberg license for all works, posted with the permission of the copyright holder found at the beginning of this work, 1E4. Do not unlink or detach or remove the full Project Gutenberg license terms from this work or any files containing a part of this work or any other work associated with Project Gutenberg. 1E5. Do not copy, display, perform, distribute, or redistribute this electronic work or any part of this electronic work without prominently displaying the sentence set forth in paragraph 1E1 with active links or immediate access to the full terms of the project. Gutenberg license. 1E6. You may convert to and distribute this work in any binary, compressed, marked up, non-proprietary or proprietary form, including any word processing or hypertext form. However, if you provide access to or distribute copies of a Project Gutenberg work in a format other than plain vanilla ASCII or other format used in the official version posted on the official Project Gutenberg website, www.gutenberg.org, you must, at no additional cost, fee, or expense, to the user provide a copy, a means of exporting a copy, or a means of obtaining a copy upon request of the work in its original plain vanilla ASCII or other form. Any alternate format must include the full Project Gutenberg license as specified in paragraph 1E1, 1E7. Do not charge a fee for access to, viewing, displaying, performing, copying, or distributing any Project Gutenberg works, unless you comply with paragraph 1E8 or 1E9. 1E8. You may charge a reasonable fee for copies of or providing access to or distributing Project Gutenberg electronic works, provided that you pay a royalty fee of 20% of the gross profits you derive from the use of Project Gutenberg works calculated using the method you already use to calculate your applicable taxes. The fee is owed to the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, but he has agreed to donate royalties under this paragraph to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Royalty payments must be paid within 60 days following each date on which you prepare or are legally required to prepare your periodic tax returns. Royalty payments should be clearly marked as such and sent to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation at the address specified in Section 4, Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. You provide a full refund of any money paid by a user who notifies you in writing or by email within 30 days of receipt that /he does not agree to the terms of the full Project Gutenberg trademark license. You must require such a user to return or destroy all copies of the works possessed in a physical medium and discontinue all use of and all access to other copies of Project Gutenberg trademark works you provide, in accordance with paragraph 1F3, a full refund of any money paid for a work or a replacement copy if a defect in the electronic work is discovered and reported to you within 90 days of receipt of the work. You comply with all other terms of this agreement for free distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark works. 1E9. If you wish to charge a fee or distribute a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work or group of works on different terms than are set forth in this agreement, you must obtain permission in writing from the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the manager of the Project Gutenberg trademark. Contact the foundation as set forth in Section 3 below, 1F1F1. Project Gutenberg volunteers and employees expend considerable effort to identify, do copyright research on, transcribe, and proofread works not protected by U.S. copyright law in creating the Project Gutenberg trademark collection. Despite these efforts, Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works and the medium on which they may be stored may contain defects, such as but not limited to incomplete, inaccurate, or corrupt data, transcription errors, a copyright or other intellectual property infringement, a defective or damaged disk or other medium, a computer virus or computer codes that damage or cannot be read by your equipment. 1F2. Limited warranty, disclaimer of DAMAGES, except for the right of replacement or refund described in paragraph 1F3, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, and any other party distributing a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work under this agreement, disclaim all liability to you for damages, costs, and expenses, including legal fees You agree that you have no remedies for negligence, strict liability, breach of warranty, or breach of contract except those provided in paragraph 1F3. You agree that the foundation, THE, trademark owner, and any distributor under this agreement will not be liable to you for actual, direct, indirect, consequential, punitive, or incidental damages, even if you give notice of the possibility of such damage. 1F3. Limited right of replacement or refund. If you discover a defect in this electronic work within 90 days of receiving it, you can receive a refund of the money, if any, you paid for it by sending a written explanation to the person you received the work from. If you received the work on a physical medium, you must return the medium with your written explanation. The person or entity that provided you with the defective work may elect to provide a replacement copy in lieu of a refund. If you received the work electronically, the person or entity providing it to you may choose to give you a second opportunity to receive the work electronically in lieu of a refund. If the second copy is also defective, you may demand a refund in writing without further opportunities to fix the problem. 1F4. Except for the limited right of replacement or refund set forth in paragraph 1F3, this work is provided to you as is with no other warranties of any kind, express or implied, including but not limited to warranties of merchantability or fitness for any purpose. 1F5. Some states do not allow disclaimers of certain implied warranties or the exclusion or limitation of certain types of damages. If any disclaimer or limitation set forth in this agreement violates the law of the state applicable to this agreement, the agreement shall be interpreted to make the maximum disclaimer or limitation permitted by the applicable state law. The invalidity or unenforceability of any provision of this agreement shall not void the remaining provisions. 1F6. Indemnity. You agree to indemnify and hold the foundation, the trademark owner, any agent or employee of the foundation, anyone providing copies of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works in accordance with this agreement, and any volunteers associated with the production, promotion, and distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works, harmless from all liability, costs, and expenses, including legal fees that arise directly or indirectly from any of the following which you do or cause to occur: a, distribution of this or any Project Gutenberg work; b, alteration, modification, or additions or deletions to any Project Gutenberg work; and c, any defect you cause. Section 2. Information about the mission of Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg is synonymous with the free distribution of electronic works in formats readable by the widest variety of computers, including obsolete, old, middle-aged, and new computers. It exists because of the efforts of hundreds of volunteers and donations from people in all walks of life. Volunteers and financial support to provide volunteers with the assistance they need are critical to reaching Project Gutenberg goals and ensuring that the Project Gutenberg collection will remain freely available for generations to come. In 2001, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation was created to provide a secure and permanent future for Project Gutenberg and future generations. To learn more about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation and how your efforts and donations can help, see Sections 3 and 4 and the Foundation Information page at www.gutenberg.org, Section 3. Information about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation is a nonprofit, 501(c)(3) educational corporation organized under the laws of the State of Mississippi and granted tax-exempt status by the Internal Revenue Service. The foundation's EIN, or Federal Tax Identification, number is 64622-1541. Contributions to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation are tax deductible to the full extent permitted by U.S. federal laws and your state's laws. The foundation's business office is located at 41 Watchung Plaza 516, Montclair, NJ 7042, USA, +1 862-621-9288. Email contact links and up to date contact information can be found at the foundation's website and official page at www.gutenberg.org/contact. Section 4. Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Project Gutenberg trademark depends upon and cannot survive without widespread public support and donations to carry out its mission of increasing the number of public domain and licensed works that can be freely distributed in machine-readable form accessible by the widest array of equipment, including outdated equipment. Many small donations, $1 to $5,000, are particularly important to maintaining tax-exempt status with the IRS. The foundation is committed to complying with the laws regulating charities and charitable donations in all 50 states of the United States. Compliance requirements are not uniform, and it takes a considerable effort, much paperwork, and many fees to meet and keep up with these requirements. We do not solicit donations in locations where we have not received written confirmation of compliance. To send donations or determine the status of compliance for any particular state, visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. While we cannot and do not solicit contributions from states where we have not met the solicitation requirements, we know of no prohibition against accepting unsolicited donations from donors in such states who approach us with offers to donate. International donations are gratefully accepted, but we cannot make any statements concerning tax treatment of donations received from outside the United States. U.S. laws alone swamp our small staff. Please check the Project Gutenberg web pages for current donation methods and addresses. Donations are accepted in a number of other ways, including checks, online payments, and credit card donations. To donate, please visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. Section 5. General information about Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. Professor Michael S. Hart was the originator of the Project Gutenberg concept of a library of electronic works that could be freely shared with anyone. For 40 years, he produced and distributed Project Gutenberg ebooks with only a loose network of volunteer support. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as not protected by copyright in the U.S. unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we do not necessarily keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. Most people start at our website, which has the main PG search facility, www.gutenberg.org. This website includes information about Project Gutenberg, including how to make donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter to hear about new ebooks. This is the end of the audiobook. Thank you for listening. You can listen to and download more audiobooks at threeords.com.